Welcome to a Christmas edition of Tuned to Yesterday, broadcasting programs from radio's yesteryear. I'm your host, Mark LeVonier. In this hour, two unlikely series bringing us great Christmas stories. Later on, we hear Lights Out from 1937, but right now, Romance from Christmas Eve 1955 on CBS. Virginia Gregg stars in the story, Richer by One Christmas.
Today, Romance sends season's greetings with a new Christmas story especially written for the occasion by Sylvia Richards. Its title, Richer by One Christmas. Now, from Hollywood, Romance. Romance, transcribed stories of love and adventure, of comedy and crisis, of conflict and human emotion. Today, a story of Christmas time, of Christmas present, starring Miss Virginia Gregg as Evelyn in Richer by One Christmas.
Years ago, when I was a child back in Iowa, I sang in the girls' choir at the First Episcopal Church. And I remember one year the rector gave us all necklaces, silver chains with round crystal pendants. Inside each pendant was a tiny golden mustard seed. The rector told us those seeds stood for faith, because Christ had said that if you have faith, even as small as the grain of a mustard seed, you can move mountains. And that's what my husband, Phil, said about the Christmas spirit, that I must still have a grain of it left in me, that I'd just have to find it and make it grow. Since I've grown up, some Christmases have been fairly good, some bad. Mostly they've been so-so in between. But this year, well, the whole season started out wrong. It was one afternoon after Thanksgiving when my son Peter, he's not quite 11, came bouncing in from school.
Hi, I'm back, Mark.
I heard. What did I say about slamming doors?
Uh-oh. Sorry, I forgot. It came upon a midnight clear that glory.
Hey, my eardrums. What brought that on?
Oh, we were practicing carols today in school.
Already?
Already? It's only 3.5 weeks from now.
Christmas? Why, Thanksgiving was just last Thursday.
Well, look at the calendar. See? Today's December 1st. Gosh, Christmas sure seems to get here quicker than it used to. I used to wait and wait.
You get here too soon to suit me. One day you look around and there's Christmas bearing down like an express train.
Hey, can I have some donuts?
One. Sit down. I'll give you a glass of milk with it. Every year, I swear I'll get everything done ahead of time, but I always put things off. Oof, the shopping. How I hate the thought of it.
You sound like you hate Christmas.
No, of course I don't. But when you're grown up, Christmas is different.
Different how?
Oh, not as much fun. It's really a holiday for children. Getting presents, seeing Santa Claus, trimming the Christmas tree.
Mr. Miller, our social studies teacher, said there didn't used to be anything like that. He said Christmas used to be just praying and being thankful that Jesus was born.
That's true. But nowadays, well, isn't it getting presents that makes it exciting for you?
I guess. But grown-ups get presents, too.
Oh, yes, but they don't mean as much to us. I suppose because Christmas means so much extra work. I mean, spending money, usually more than you should. So many other things Christmas shouldn't mean. Somehow, little by little, you just lose your Christmas spirit.
Have you lost yours, Mom?
I don't know, Peter. Sometimes I think I have. I know I shouldn't have said that to Peter. It was bad enough 2 years ago when he stopped believing in Santa Claus, and now I was trying to spoil whatever illusions he had left. When I saw how puzzled he looked, I changed my tune, asked him what kind of present he thought his dad would like and what he wanted us to get for him. But that night at dinner, Phil brought home some news, something I didn't want to think about, not just before Christmas.
Oh, Evelyn, I got a letter today from your sister Meg.
You mean Aunt Meg way back in Iowa?
Peter, hush. Meg wrote to you at the office?
Well, she didn't know how you'd take it. She thought I might want to wait till after Christmas before I brought up the subject.
What subject?
Well, it's something I more or less expected. It's your mother. Seems she's become quite feeble and her memory's more or less shot. Meg says she just can't cope with the situation any longer.
Well, I send money and so does Alex.
It's not just the money. Meg's away at work all day and it isn't safe to leave your mother alone.
So? What does she suggest?
Here. Here's the letter. Read what she says.
Grandma's memory is shot. What does that mean?
Well, she's very old, and so her mind doesn't work as well as it did.
How old? 40?
40? My dear young fellow, I'll have you know that's young.
50? 60? Not 7.
Hush, Peter. Phil, no, I won't have Mother shoved off on
me. Well, Alex can't take her, neither can Stan.
But if she came here, where would we put her?
The only place would be Pete's room.
My room for Grandma?
Hush!
I could fix up the room off the kitchen, Pete, where we've got the freezer.
That room? It's too little. Where would I keep all my stuff?
You see, Phil, it's just not fair to Peter.
Sure, why can't Grandma have the little
room? That'll do, Pete. I think it's not fair to let him get away with being selfish.
It's not just the room. But having an old person in the house, it can't be good for Peter to see someone who's sick and who's confused in her mind.
People get old. It's a fact of life. It won't hurt him to know that.
Well, maybe not, but...
It won't hurt him to start learning how to be kind and patient. Evelyn, I should think that, especially now, when Christmas is almost
That's
here,
just it, to have another problem now, and the extra expense...
Expense?
She'd have to fly here. She couldn't stand the long trip on the train, and Meg can't afford to buy the ticket.
Well, how much would it cost? $60, $70?
Nearly half of the money I've saved for Christmas.
So this year, why don't we just buy a tree and a few things for Pete?
We have to send cards, and there are certain people who'll expect to get a gift. No. I refuse to take on Meg's problems now on top of everything else.
Well, I have to write, Meg. What'll I say?
Well, just tell her we'll discuss the problem after Christmas and then let her know. It won't hurt her to wait. No, it wouldn't hurt Meg to wait. My mother? Well, at her age, I doubted it would make any difference to her where she spent Christmas. Still, I must have had a bad conscience because I felt more and more miserable as the days went by and less like Christmas. I worked like a tiger, cleaning the house and went shopping nearly every day, battling my way through the crowds to buy gifts. And all over the city I saw lights and decorations, heard bells ringing, singing of carols, but nothing happened. I still had no feeling, not one tiny spark of real Christmas spirit.
Boy, that's a great package, Mom.
Oh, your mother's an artist at wrapping gifts.
Oh, thank you, kind sirs.
Well, who's that one for?
Al's children. It's a collection of magic tricks.
Oh.
Who's this one for, with the pine cones on top?
That? Isn't it marked? Oh, never mind. It's for Connie, the cleaning woman. There, this one's done. Peter, it's past your bedtime.
It's vacation, no school.
But aren't you going to work for Mrs. Krieg tomorrow, washing windows or something?
Hey, you got a job, Pete?
Yep, Mrs. Krieg's. He's paying me 50 cents an hour.
You'll be filthy rich.
Peter?
Let me wrap one package first.
All right, wrap this one. It's for the milkman.
You mean we got to give him a present?
We don't got to, but we'll get better service if we do. Here, use this gold paper and the brown ribbon.
Okay.
Ooh, I'm bone tired. I've never seen such crowds.
Are you anywhere near finished?
I'd better be. Only two more shopping days.
You want me to buy the tree? I'll get it Christmas Eve.
Oh, will you? It would be one thing off my mind.
I swear, Evelyn, you sound like you were fighting a battle, a turning point in a war.
Pow! Over the top, Christmas! Gotcha!
That's how I sound. That's how I feel. Oh, I used to love Christmas, but it's changed, though.
Maybe you've changed.
No, it's become noisy and commercial. It wasn't like that when I was little.
What was it like?
Oh, everything was different.
Well, one thing, back in Iowa, the weather must have been different.
Yes, that's partly what's wrong. Here in California, there aren't any real seasons, no winter.
It's winter now.
You mean because of the rain we're having? Well, this is more like spring weather back east.
What was winter like there, Mom?
In Iowa? Snow. Day after day for weeks. Some days it drifted down, a few whirling flakes, and then there'd be a storm. The air filled with snow, the whole world white and still and cold.
So what was Christmas like?
Why, it was right in the center, in the heart of all that cold and whiteness, a bright, bright day. Christmas Day.
I guess I finished this package, Mom.
Oh, thank you, Peter.
Oh, you did a good job, son.
I guess I'll go to bed now.
Night, darling.
Night.
Good night, Peter.
You know something, Mom? You know what somebody ought to give you for a present?
No, what?
A snowstorm. A great, big, beautiful white snowstorm. Then I bet you'd like Christmas again. As much as you used to.
For a long time, after Peter had gone to sleep, Phil and I didn't talk. I was too tired, and I felt lonely and a little unhappy. I was talking about Iowa, that long-ago, wonderful time. I was remembering my family, Meg and my brothers and me, when we were little. Then I found myself remembering a poem I'd once learned by heart from Alice Through the Looking Glass. I began reciting it out loud. Without the frost, the blinding snow, the storm's wind's moody madness, within the firelight's ruddy glow, and childhood's nest of gladness.
I guess that's how we remember our childhood, but I always suspect my memory.
Not me. I can remember almost everything that ever happened from the time I began to walk until I was years older than Peter is now.
Every Christmas?
Every single one.
You remember anyone that was special, better than the rest?
Of course. Everyone has one perfect Christmas. They remember their whole life how wonderful.
What made yours so perfect? Did you get a bicycle or your first real watch?
No. It wasn't anything I got.
Well, then it must have been the snowiest Christmas. Snow on everything, like frosting on a cake.
No. The odd thing is that there was scarcely any snow that year, not until January.
Well, then what was it?
Well, I don't know. I never thought before. Somehow that year I felt Christmas in my bones. I felt like the carol sound, joyous.
Was it an especially prosperous Christmas? Did your dad make a lot of money that year?
No, no. It was after Dad died, 2 or 3 years after. Prosperous. My dad hadn't left anything but debts. And it was 1935. The Depression. My poor mother. How she worried. She made some money sewing, doing alterations. And Stan, he was the oldest, sometimes got a day's work helping a carpenter. I was only 12. But I got myself a job. I started even before Christmas vacation.
Mama! Mama, I'm leaving now.
Well, it's nearly dark, Evie, and I hate to think of you tramping from house to house in the cold, talking to strangers.
They're not strangers, Mama. I know everybody who lives on Jefferson Street. Almost everybody on Weber Avenue.
Oh, yes, I suppose you do. But, Evie, promise me you won't force people to buy cards from you.
How can I force them?
Well, you mustn't try. So many people are having a hard time, and I hate to think of anyone spending money if they can't afford it.
Mama, I've only sold 3 boxes. One to Miss Dory Haskell, and she can afford more than that. And 2 boxes to the manager of the Liberty Theater.
I suppose in his case, Christmas cards are really a business expense.
I have to sell 20 boxes.
Why?
For a reason. I don't want to tell you yet.
Poor little Evie. I can guess why. It's hard when you're young to see all the pretty things in the stores that you can't buy.
I don't care, Mama.
Especially this time of year.
But I really don't care.
Well, money or no money, we shall have a merry Christmas, Evie. Because you and Meg and your brothers all know what Christmas really means. You have Christmas in your hearts. The Christmas cards I was trying to sell were cheap and ugly, and I knew it. That's what made it so hateful. Whenever I tried to talk about them, I got tongue-tied with shame looking at those gaudy, badly done sentimental pictures. But I made my quota. I sold 21 boxes. The last 2 the afternoon before Christmas, just in time.
In time for what?
To go down and spend my hard-earned money. It was the first time I'd ever gone downtown all by myself.
How much did you have?
Well, I got 35 cents on each box, so it was $7.35, a fortune.
So you went downtown clutching your money in your hot little fist.
Mm-hmm.
And then what?
I went on the streetcar. That cost 5 cents. It was nearly 5 o'clock. And already dark, but all the stores were lighted. There were lots of people still shopping. I walked along the sidewalk, looking into all the dazzling windows. I stood in front of the saltwater taffy store and sniffed. That wonderful smell. I stood outside Woolworth's and watched the people. Up the street, I could hear the chimes on the Methodist church. And right in front of the store, a Salvation Army woman was ringing her little bell. Now and then, somebody came by who knew me.
Hello there, Abby.
Hello, Mr. Thompson.
Waiting to see Santa Claus? He's already left, going back to North Pole. Tonight's his busy night.
I'm not waiting for anyone. I'm going to buy a Christmas present.
Good. Good for you. Well, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, Mr. Thompson.
Standing there, something started to worry me. I hadn't seen anybody drop any money in the Salvation Army kettle. I watched the woman ringing her little bell. Face looked pinched with cold and terribly sad. And she looked over and caught my eye. There was only one thing I could do.
I can't give you very much. I only have a quarter and a nickel.
And you want to put them in the kettle? You have a good Christian heart.
I do have some more money, $7. But I have to buy something that costs $6.95. I have to keep a nickel for the streetcar.
Any gift you want to give is welcome.
Should I drop the money in the kettle?
That's right. It falls right through the wire. Bless you, my dear. Bless you and Merry Christmas.
By then, some of the stores were closing. Doors were being locked and lights dimmed. I was afraid I might be too late. I started running because it was 2 blocks to getting a store.
Well, what did you want to buy?
It was a present for my mother.
Huh. Nothing for yourself?
No, for her. Something to make her smile, not look so tired.
While you were selling the cards, you didn't tell anyone.
Not even Meg. Whenever I thought of how Mother would look on Christmas morning, I hugged myself.
Well, did you get to the store in time?
Just in time. A man had closed one of the big doors, and I slipped in before he closed the other one. Giddings was beautiful. At least I thought so then. I knew exactly where to go, to the notions department. Months before, I'd seen the present I was going to buy, and my heart turned over with joy when I saw it was still there behind the glass.
You want to buy something, dear?
That, on the bottom shelf.
Oh, this. You know how much it costs?
Yes, $6.95.
Plus the sales tax, 7 cents. Altogether, it's $7.02.
I only have $7, but I'll bring you the 2 cents the day after Christmas.
Well, no. I guess I can spare 2 cents.
Thank you, but I'll pay it back.
That's all right. It's your Christmas present. Now, do you want me to wrap this as a gift?
Of course, I'd spent every cent, so I couldn't take the streetcar. It was a 2-mile walk, and it was a cold night, but I don't even remember walking home. I think I must have floated all the way.
Well, tell me, what was the present?
A little doll. I guess you'd call it a Dresden doll. She was tiny and delicate. Held her arms out, so. A colonial lady, though her hair was white till it powdered. And she wasn't just a doll. Under her ruffled hoop skirt, she was a pincushion. But I didn't buy her for that.
Well, did your mother like it? What did she say?
She cried when she opened the package. I can't remember what she said. But she never used it for a pincushion. As long as I can remember, that doll stood on her bureau.
And that was your best Christmas?
The very best. It was the first time I really wanted to give someone a gift.
Mom! Mom!
What is that, Pete?
A present. For Mom.
Peter, is that where you've been?
Sure. One time I'd seen one of these things. Someone Mrs. Krieg paid me.
I went down to look for one. I bet I looked in more than 50 stores. Mom, do me a favor. Open it now.
Oh, I think I should wait until tomorrow morning.
Oh, this is something you ought to have tonight. Before Christmas.
Go ahead, Evelyn.
All right.
It doesn't look too good. It's kind of hard to wrap.
It's so heavy and round. Well, it's made of glass.
What's that inside?
Shake it, Mom. Shake it hard.
Oh, a snowstorm. A beautiful white snowstorm. Oh, Peter, it's a lovely present. The loveliest I ever had.
Well, you're crying.
It's because it's so pretty.
I knew you'd be surprised.
Yes. And I have another surprise. For all of us. Grandma's coming tomorrow.
You sent for her?
Of course, I had to. When I remembered that other Christmas, when I thought she might not live to have many more, when I knew how wonderful this one was going to be. And at that moment, something happened. The room changed. It became a room simply bulging with Christmas, and I changed. The mustard seed had been there, and now it started to grow and grow.
From the cast and crew of our series, from all of us here on Romance, a very merry, merry Christmas. And may we invite you to hear Romance, transcribed next week at this same time.
Romance on Tuned to Yesterday, their 84th program for Christmas Eve 1955 on CBS. It's an hour of Christmas shows on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. And now, Willis Cooper's Lights Out series, one of the earliest surviving broadcasts from the 1937 run, is a Christmas story called The Uninhabited, from December 22, 1937, on NBC.
Lights out, everybody. This is a tale they tell of another Christmas, a Christmas 19 years ago. The Great War was over. War-weary soldiers and officers were at last being allowed to rest, to enjoy such recreation as soldiers might find. Leave areas were established in various parts of France, and at intervals, individuals were sent from the stations of their organizations to these areas, there to rest and refresh themselves for a brief period. The story properly begins on Christmas night, 1918, 19 years ago. A leave train was just coming to a halt in the station at Villefranche.
On peut monter à cet compartiment-là, monsieur? Il y a seulement un officier, c'est un Français. C'est première classe, monsieur.
Oh, merci, monsieur. I see the flight of mine. Here you are, Mike. Ta.
Ah, merci, merci, monsieur l'Anglais. Merci.
I'm not an English, you know, chap. Australian, Anzac. Complete?
Ah, oui, 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 oui. Vous êtes Australien, n'est-ce pas?
Righto. And Merry Christmas, old chap.
Un joyeux Noël, monsieur l'Australien.
Excuse me, monsieur, but I, si vous plaît, I would like to venir ici Oh, blast it, I can't talk the ruddy language.
It is not necessary to speak the blasted language, monsieur, since I speak yours after a fashion.
Oh, beg pardon, old chap. The station master told me you wouldn't mind if I stowed myself in here with you, I hope.
I should be very glad indeed of your company. I am Captain Esme Rochefort de Gascoigne. The 212th Regiment Artillery, GPF.
I'm Lieutenant Horace Ballantyne of the Australian Light Horse, sir.
You are welcome, monsieur. May I help you with your baggage?
I'll have it stowed and have a talk. Thank you. There. Oh, going on leave, Captain?
Oui. I am not sure where yet, but c'est la guerre. One never knows where it goes in this world.
Too right, Vigor. That was jolly good of you to share your compartment, old chap.
I am only too glad. It has been rather a lonely journey so far. I am delighted of someone to talk to.
First-class compartments are not too easy to copper, either. A bit cushy, this, isn't it?
Not too bad, indeed. You'll pardon me, I know, but I am a bit curious to know how an Australian officer should find his way to Via France.
I don't quite know myself, Captain Gascoigne, is it?
Yes. And your name is Ballantyne?
Right.
I must remember.
Well, I was at Gallipoli in the infantry with the Exocook, the 3rd Aussie Division, you know. Got a bit of a crack in the head, and the first thing I knew, I found myself transferred as town major of a village a few miles east of here. Nothing but Americans in it.
Ah, the Americans. They are good soldiers, eh?
Fair dinkum.
And now you find yourself bound for leave on Christmas night.
Righto, and jolly glad of it.
Where are you going, do you know?
Report to the RTO at Isle of Bain. That's all I know.
You have the same difficulties in your army, I see. One never knows where one goes. You are a long way from home, my friend.
Righto. A bloody long way. Halfway around the world, you know.
And you have come to fight for France. I salute you, monsieur.
It's been fun.
Oui. And now it is over. And our young men lie dead under the stars out there.
We lost a few, too.
Our young men, monsieur. French, British, Australian, American.
Not to mention a few German chappies.
Quite. Eh bien, one cannot make the omelette without breaking the eggs.
A bloody lot of good eggs, friend Gascoigne.
Oui.
I wish the blasted train would start.
It is always a mystery how they control these trains. Particularly when one wishes to go somewhere in a hurry.
Oh, American chap out there, looking for a place, I fancy.
Perhaps we could invite him in here, if you do not mind.
Well, why not, if it's all right with you.
Oh, he's a comrade, and there is little room on the train.
Righto. Oh, Yank. Yank there. This way, Yank.
He comes?
Strike me pink now. The blighter's black, and an officer, too.
So? I have heard that the Americans have 2 divisions of Negroes, and they have many officers who are, as the Americans say, colored also. But I have never seen one.
You don't mind if I ask him in?
My dear Ballantyne, why should one mind? Is he not a man, an ally, an officer? Do we dislike one another because I am French and you Australian?
Good chap. We've lots of blacks in our units. What the devil's the difference? What difference does it make what color the blighter's skin is? Room here.
Do you mind awfully, Lieutenant?
Not much room anywhere else, old chap. Oh, come in, come in. We've room for one.
Thank you. I was afraid I was going to be left behind.
My name's Ballantyne, Lieutenant Australian Light Horse.
I'm Captain Melvin, 370th American Infantry.
Delighted, Captain. And this is Captain... I have to help the chap out, Captain.
I am Captain Esme Rochefort de Gascoigne of the French Artillery, Captain. Welcome.
Gentlemen, thank you.
Oh, here. Give me your musette. I'll shove it up in the rack.
Oh, thank you, Lieutenant. Feels good to get that thing off my shoulder.
Sit down, Captain Melvin.
Thanks. Been standing around there all day long on one foot and then on the other waiting. Finally, when the train did pull in, I thought I was still going to stand there. Good of you to take me in.
We are delighted.
Righto.
You're an Australian, eh, Lieutenant?
Righto. From Adelaide.
Well, just think of that.
Where are you from, Captain Melvin?
Oh, I'm from Chicago.
And you, Captain Gascoigne?
My home is in Bayonne. As one might infer from my name.
Your name, Captain?
Gascoigne. Bayonne is in Gascony, you see.
Oh, I see.
It's odd, ain't it? Here we are, 3 of us in 1 railway coach, bound for somewhere, and we've come from all over the world to meet on Christmas night in France.
We don't even know where we're going, do you?
Well, I haven't the slightest idea. Liberia, that's all I know.
Well, may as well have a spot of Christmas cheer, eh? A bottle of rather good wine in my music.
And so have I.
Not to be outdone in this matter, mes amis, I also have a bottle of Lacrimae Christi.
Tears of Christ.
A very precious wine in these days, mes amis. I do not remember how I came by it, but suffice it to say, I have it. Ah, we are about to start, eh?
We are starting.
Happy crowd out there at the station. Christmas.
We still Christmas, despite the fact that most of them all want to get out of the town and go somewhere.
Hmm. Yes, Christmas, I was down in Texas. People open.
I was in the hospital at Marseille.
And I, mes amis, had dinner with a German general.
A German general?
Captured on Christmas Eve.
Oh, yes.
Gentlemen, will you drink with me?
With pleasure, oui, if you will drink with me.
And with me.
Well, then, to Christmas, eh?
To
Christmas.
To Christmas.
You know, my musette's so bloody full of junk of all sorts. I was afraid I might have lost the bottle.
Souvenirs, huh?
Oh, yes. Silly toys and things that I picked up. Give them to some kid somewhere. Lord knows they have few enough.
I have gifts, too, in my musette. There is no one left of my people to give them to, but it is a sentiment. Sentiment for Christmas.
Suppose we all do that. Mine's packed with odds and ends. I didn't know if I'd ever get back to that outfit after this leave, so I got some souvenirs together.
Another drink, mes amis?
Oh, not now. Thanks, Captain. I'll wait a while.
I think I shall, too.
Quiet. It is a beautiful night, eh?
Clear. You know, if the war was still on, I'd expect to hear someone shout, "Lights out! Jerry's up!" Have a lot of bombs landed our laps.
I hope we are done with that, monsieur.
Amen.
No moon, though.
Yeah. But look at them stars.
Oh, see that one over there? You might imagine it to be the Star of Bethlehem. Very bright, isn't it?
Oui. Nearly 2,000 years ago. I wonder if that same star still shines upon the earth.
If it does, we wouldn't know it. Not us. Fight wars and deny the name of the man that was born under it.
Religious chap?
No, not at all, Lieutenant. A long way from it.
I'm not a religious chap either. But used to have some jolly times as a kid at Christmas time, though. Church things and all that, candles, whatnot.
One is not religious, save when one sees the star shining down on him.
I wonder if that could be the star.
And why not, my friend? Our earth changes, but the everlasting stars change not.
Be funny if it is, wouldn't it? Bonsoir.
Oui. But our journey is long, gentlemen. If you wish to sleep...
You're sleepy, Captain?
That little drink of wine has affected me, I fear. I cannot keep my eyes open.
Yeah, I'm a little tired myself. Standing around all day in that station. There was no place to sit down.
I can always sleep myself.
I propose, then, that we do sleep for a little while, my friends.
Talking to sleep made me sleepy. I'm all for it.
Shall I turn down the lights?
If you will, monsieur. Pleasant dreams. Merry Christmas.
And Merry Christmas to you both, gentlemen.
Yeah, and to you, Lieutenant Ballantyne. Captain Gascoigne.
Yonder star shall watch over us. N'est-ce pas?
The star that shone on Bethlehem.
Good night.
Are you asleep?
I'm not.
Nor I. Almost, though, I must say.
I was thinking. It seems that I have met you both before, somewhere.
That's really odd.
Why, my friend?
I was thinking the same thing.
I was, too. But it couldn't be. One from France, One from Australia, one from America.
Oui, it is so. Good night, my friends.
Good night.
Good night.
Friend Gaspar, we have journeyed far, and the sign that thou didst promise to us is not yet.
Peace, Balthazar. We have not yet come to the end of our journey. Behold, Melchior crieth not out. Canst thou not study his patience to be like unto him?
Yet thou art tired, Melchior.
Aye, I am tired and weary. Yet must we go on. No man knoweth what the end of his far journeying shall bring him.
Dost thou see, Balthazar? Thou must needs have faith.
I have faith, friend Gaspar. Yet my burden upon my shoulder is cruel heavy, and I would fain rest.
Have faith, O Balthazar. Have faith, I conjure thee.
Faith. Aye. Lead on, O Gaspar. Whither thou goest, there will I follow thee.
And also I, Gaspar. For I know that thou art inspired of God, that his hand doth lead thee.
Yet not even I know what miracle he will do before our eyes.
No matter. We will follow and thy road lead to death. Now, which road takest thou? That to the right hand or to the left?
I know not.
Wilt thou not call upon God, Gaspar?
Aye. Kneel down, brethren. O Lord, Father God, lead us, thy servants, in the way thou didst set out for us. For know, Lord Father God, that we are poor, and our eyes know not the right, and we would follow the way that thou wilt have us follow. Therefore we pray thee humbly, dear Father.
A miracle.
Miracle? What sayest thou, Balthazar?
Behold, Gaspar, a sign from the Lord Father God.
There is no sign.
Behold, in the sky.
A sign.
A star that burneth brighter than all the stars of the heavens. O Lord God, we thank thee. The way is before us. We follow thy will.
Behold, Gaspar, the star shineth upon the pathway to the left.
Forward, forward, brethren. For the end of our far journeying is at hand. Certes, this is a sign from God.
Behold, Gaspar, beyond the hill, the lights of a village.
'Tis so. Now we are come to our destination indeed. Haste, friends, haste.
Knowest thou what town is that, O Gaspar?
Nay, I know not, save that it be the end of our long journey.
O travelers! Have ye seen the star?
Who calls? Who art thou?
It is a shepherd. See the flocks of sheep beyond the road?
Seest thou the star, travelers? Knowest thou its meaning?
Aye, we have seen it, O shepherd. Yet we know not its meaning, save that a miracle of the Lord Father God is nigh unto us.
From the blackness of the sky it sprang into blaze, traveler. Dost thou think it portends the end of earth?
Nay, friend, not the end of earth. Say rather its beginning.
What sayest thou?
Behold, shepherd, the mantle of the Lord is upon him.
He speaketh of miracles.
Aye, and a miracle will come to pass. Haste, friends, haste, for this night we'll hear the voices of angels chanting and the sound of many great wings. Peace on earth. Peace, goodwill to men.
Glory to God
in the highest.
Verily, ye speak as men that understand the workings of the will of God.
Say now, shepherd, how is yonder village named?
Surely, if ye know what shall come to pass because of the star, how is it ye know not the name of the town?
We have come from far land, shepherd.
Aye. What matters it if we know not such trifles as the name of a little hidden village? When we know of a miracle to be wrought in the name of Almighty God.
Aye, 'tis so.
What miracle shall come to pass?
It is hidden from our ken, O shepherd. Yet it shall come to pass. Fear not.
Aye. And such a miracle as shall set all the world to singing praises, lifting up their voices unto the heavens, crying in a loud voice, Mighty, mighty is the Lord God of hosts.
Ye be not of Israel?
Nay, I am from the land of the Greeks, and these my companions be also from far lands. Melchior from Ethiop, Balthazar, a wise man of Egypt, a soothsayer unto the king.
Ye have come far.
Aye, so. Since many days our feet have trod the pathways of hidden, unknown places. Yet always have we set our faces unto the east, obeying the bidding of a voice unheard, the guidance of a hand unfelt.
And ye go now into the town?
Thou hast not told us its name, shepherd.
Certes. All men know that yonder town is called the town of the house of bread, even Bethlehem. Know ye that I, even I, am of Bethlehem, where was born 1,000 years agone David, son of Jesse, that was king of Israel.
'Tis well. For now I speak with the tongue of the Lord, the wisdom he hath put into my mouth. Behold yonder Bethlehem, whence came David, king of Israel. Now this night shall be born Bethlehem, that Messiah, that very Son of God, which the ancient prophets have foretold. And this is the miracle that shall come to pass. For he shall be born of a virgin immaculate, and his name shall be Jesus, called Christ. O thou Lord God, Father, I give thanks unto thee that thou hast appointed me and my companions, that we shall be witnesses before all the world that the Son of God is born. Haste, my friends. We must on, for the miracle is at hand.
The Spirit of God is upon him.
Speak through the tongue of the Lord. Haste.
O holy man, may I not go with thee, seeing thou knowest not the village, and I with my brethren was born there.
Aye, thou mayest come with us, but haste, friends, haste.
Behold the star, how it seemeth to beckon us on.
Lo, it cometh down from the heavens and standeth above the rooftops of the town. It is the doing of God.
Aye, praise God.
Praise God.
Praise God.
Sling thy burthens from thy shoulders, friends. Haste, haste.
I marvel also that there should be lights abroad in the town. The hour is passing late, yet there is a light in every house.
And perchance the men of Bethlehem rejoice that the Messiah is born.
Nay, not so, for he is hidden from men. And they of Bethlehem know him not.
Then what? The feast of Hanukkah is but lately over, my masters. The feast of the lights in memory of the Maccabee. And many remain. Also are there others in the town who have come to deal with the men of Herod, the tetrarch of Galilee, even the tax collectors. And thus is the city full, even all the inns.
Dost thou know where we shall find him, O Gaspar? Hath it been revealed unto thee?
All in good time, my friend. We follow the star.
Perchance he shall be born in a family of high repute.
Aye, 'tis not fitting that the Son of God shall come from an humble home.
The will of God shall be done. The child Jesus be born in the wide fields under the star, my friends. Haste.
Behold, these be the walls of Bethlehem, O wise man. Yonder lieth the gate.
Perchance the soldiers of the tetrarch may refuse his admission into the city, Gaspar.
Nay, they are gone away, Melchior.
Aye, they all lie in the inns and public houses and carouse of the people of the town.
Gaspar, art thou sure indeed that we shall find him in Bethlehem?
Dost doubt the word of God, Balthazar? On, on.
Now, whither do we go, O Lord Gaspar?
Name me not Lord, shepherd, for we are all humble men in the sight of God.
Praise God.
Praise God.
Behold how the rays of the star shine down upon a certain street. It is the way, friends. Follow.
Lo, one comes, Gaspar. In haste.
Aye, but so.
Perchance he knoweth.
Hold thou, men. Whither goest thou?
Who art thou? Stand aside that I may pass.
Who art thou? Know that I am a citizen, even as thou art. Indeed, thou art a citizen and not a strolling player, a hawker of false jewels.
Oh, speakest thou thus to me, who am the great physician? Know, man, that I am Balthus, the leech, the learned, the clever, skilled in cupping and the art of the chirurgeon, the saver of lives, the bringer of babes into the world.
Peace! That tongue clacketh like a
bee. Say that thou art chirurgeon, no man of Bethlehem?
Aye, I am that. I am Balthus, wrestler with the angel of death, sometime physician under great Antipater himself. I am...
Hold, I pray thee. Hast thou attended woman this night that was brought of child?
And how didst thou know that, stranger?
Wilt thou say aye or nay?
Aye, I have done so. And look ye now. This night have I come upon a miracle, a very marvel, a prodigy of nature. Never before in all my time
Will
have I...
cease thy clacking and speak, leech.
And who art thou thus to...
Speak of the marvel that thou hast witnessed, man.
Behold, not 2 hours have passed since one came post-haste, crying before my door. Oh, Balthus, oh, most noble surgeon, oh, saver of lives, come down and haste. And I, setting down the goblet of sack posset wherefrom I did drink, flung open the window and looked down.
To thy story, leech, to thy story.
Behold, crieth the man in the street. Behold, Balthus, a woman hath need of thee in the stable, nigh unto the inn of the two oxen.
In the stable?
Aye, the stable. Now, I am a man of charity, and always ready to answer the call when sickness stalketh abroad. In the plague that came upon Bethlehem 9 years ago.
Aye, thou art always ready when thou dost smell the smell of gold, leech. Say on, and quickly.
If thou wilt but be still and let me. I spoke of a marvel.
Say on, say on.
I flung my cloak about me, and I came in haste, as ill becometh a man of my age and girth. And yet I am charitable, I say, and behold, in yonder stable was a woman couched in the straw of a manger, brought to bed of a child.
Surely women have been brought to bed of a child in stables before, chirurgeon.
Aye, so. But mark me well now, this woman was a virgin.
Nay.
I swear it by the holy phylactery, by my father's beard I swear it. Verily was a child born unto her, and she a virgin.
Thou hast drunk too much of thy sack posset, neighbor. Thou a physician.
I swear,
hold. Thou said enough, leech. Verily hast thou stood before a miracle this night.
A miracle? In sooth, a very prodigy.
Where lieth the woman thou didst attend?
In yonder stable. The man did say that they'd come from Nazareth in Galilee to give his testimony unto the tax collectors. And though they beseeched the innkeepers, yet would none of them give them room, saving only this one, who, having pity upon a woman with child, did say unto them that they might find bed amongst the kine in his stable, and did charge them naught.
May all the blessings of God be on this innkeeper, that he hath offered shelter this night unto the Son of God.
Yea, what sayest?
And on thee, physician, for that thou didst lend thy hand unto her, who is the very mother of him who shall be the savior of the world.
Verily, I know not who thou art, old man. Yet I perceive that thou hast the gift of prophecy. If I have served, then I am glad. For I took naught from them. And the babe did look upon me with a look that I shall ne'er forget, though I live to be the last on the earth. Now I crave thy blessing. If thou dost speak sooth, I am most blessed among men.
Verily shalt thou stand at the right hand of him who hath come to the earth, physician. Thine was the hand that first touched him. Verily art thou blessed.
I thank thee for thy grace, friend. Go now inside the stable. I go to the temple to render thanks unto God. For verily, I believe thee.
Now, my friends, 'tis the end of our long journey before us. Come with me, I pray, each of you. Come and fall down and worship the infant Jesus, Son of God, which shall be called the Christ.
Praise unto him.
Praise unto the Son of God.
I will not go in. I am not worthy.
Nay, shepherd, there be none of us worthy to touch his hand. Yet there be none too humble to do him reverence. Come.
Aye, come, shepherd.
The star waneth a little.
Shadows fall upon us.
The star paleth before his glory.
Nay. Nay, Gaspar. Behold. Behold in the sky a sign.
A sign? Oh, Father, Lord God.
A sign. The shape of a man crucified upon a cross.
Unto, I say, what's the matter?
I was dreaming, I guess. Well, where are we? It was a dream, but I saw you too.
You saw us?
It's hard to remember, but I...
Did you dream of three men, Melvin?
Yes.
I did too. Gaspar.
And Melchior. And Balthazar.
Gascoigne.
And Melvin. And Ballantyne.
Good heavens. Look at our shoes. All of us.
What?
Straw.
Straw.
From a stable. And that smell. What?
Gentlemen. I have been in the East. I know what that smell is. It is myrrh and frankincense.
Lights Out on Tuned to Yesterday from December 22nd, 1937 on NBC. And that wraps up this hour of Christmas shows on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levinier. Happy holidays.